Blog Talk Radio.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus.
Tread, Claus.
All I want for Christmas is two gold front teeth and 10-karat diamonds on a fat gold wreath that I can wear around my neck. Get money and respect. Tell Santa Claus to bring a $10 million check so I can spread a little cheer. Fly a couple lids, eat a little chicken, drink a couple beers, kick back and just chill like a player would do. Remix all the Christmas carols and I'll play them for you. Luda, turn it up until I wake up all the neighbors. They say that I'm a nuisance, but I say they all some haters. Just because I'm poor, they always calling me a faker. And cause my Christmas tree's decorated in toilet paper. But little do they know, they about to see a show. Cause when they come up out the house, I'm gonna blast them with some snow. Frosty's never seen nothing quite like this. And St. Nick's never seen nothing quite like Chris. So,
Come Santa Claus, come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus.
Tread, Claus.
Nuts roasting on the fire in the hills. But down below we firing up the barbecue grills. Ice skating in the driveway, I'ma do it my way. Eggnog got daddy swerving on the highway. Chains on the tires, ice up on the window. 10 degrees Fahrenheit freezing as the wind blow. Help me take my boots off and my snowsuit off. Get up in the house and my nose is redder than Rudolph's. I think I need some help with the buckle on my belt. And if Santa doesn't show, I want his cookies and his milk. Tell him I need a jacket, new Jordans and an Xbox. New suits for church and a couple pairs of dress socks. Stuff my stocking with Jolly Ranchers and candy canes. Invite my aunties and uncles, let's do the family thing. Meanwhile, I'm hoping Santa got my wish list so I can wake up to a very Merry Christmas.
Come Santa Claus.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor, the Homie Claus edition. This is Wayne Benitez, your host, and joined by my side tonight is Ja Perez.
Hey, what's up, bro? How are you doing?
Doing good.
Oh, wow. Good to hear you. It's been a minute. Definitely been a minute.
Yeah,
all the surgeries and everything.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And the holiday is right around the corner.
Yes, yes. The holidays and I guess, you know, holidays right around the corner. Good things have happened. You know, this year, as wrestling is concerned. So I guess it's been up and down. Good things we can be thankful for, and then there's some other things that we can be not so.
Exactly. And one of the topics we want to get into is wrestling Christmas history angles and moments. It's just been so many throughout the years.
Okay. You're going to have to start us off, bro, because you're the history buff. I'm going to have to follow you on this one.
I definitely remember the world-class angle with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs.
Oh, definitely. You're talking about the entire storyline that developed between Georgia versus Texas?
Yes.
oh, man, that was historic. I think that was probably one of the best storylines ever because, in my opinion, that reignited an entire territory. Because at that time, world class in Texas at the time period, if you were, if you looked at it, they really didn't have any stars. You know, they had a whole bunch of old wrestlers, territory wrestlers that were basically ready for the pasture, and you had Fritz's kids, and they basically didn't really have any competition. And here comes Michael Hayes and the Freebirds, who were hot. You know, they had a hot entrance. They could wrestle. They were excellent heels, and they literally put – they really got the Freebirds over. So that was one of the best, you know, rivalries, I think, because, for one, it made the Von Erichs into something. Because if you didn't have them, I don't think the Von Erichs really would have – that territory would have popped or became what it was if it wasn't for the Freebirds.
Exactly. They pushed them to a whole nother level.
Do you think that Fritz kind of do you think Fritz stood in the way in a sense of that territory taking it to the next level? Or do you think Fritz was kind of like, how do I put it, a Vince McMahon type, or do you think he gave more creative control?
I would say on both also, since that was his kids also, with a lot of nepotism in the business also.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because Fritz put his boys over. And the truth, during that time, the real one to me that had that was the talent was David. David Von Erich, to me, was a complete package. He could wrestle.
Right.
He could talk. He David was the complete package. You know, the brothers, if you look at all the brothers, each one had different elements which made them good. Kerry had the look. He had the muscle. And then Kevin, you know, barefoot in the ring. He had the scientific thing going on. And then you had, you know, each brother had something different, but David had everything.
Right.
You know, so it was just interesting that, you know, but I remember, you know, growing up and getting world-class wrestling as a child, and I loved that feud. And then they brought Iceman King Parsons, and that's one thing that I loved about the feud was they selectively brought different wrestlers in, but the wrestlers they brought in never took away from the feud. Like, you know how WWE sometimes has a feud, and they bring so many different people in, or WCW did back in the day. They with the NWO, and they warded it down. But,
right.
You know, World Class never did that.
Right. And which NWO was actually a New Japan actually was using New World Order, so they cashed in on that, Eric Bischoff, with the name.
That's true. Well, how do you feel about this latest, some of the latest happenings going on this year in WWE, as far as the Dolph Ziggler push? How do you feel about that?
It's just long overdue, but still they still trying to give Cena all the all of the credit and stuff, and with the storyline and stuff.
Go ahead.
And it's not making Dolph Ziggler any more stronger though. It's like he comes down if Cena steals the show and stuff.
I honestly believe the way the WWE is really set up that it will always be Cena's always going to be the man. And I think as long as Vince is in control, that Vince is in control, Cena will always have his place. Cena will always be at the top of the food chain. Then you always also have that Cena is the Hulk Hogan of this generation. You know, he
right.
sells the merchandise, he kisses the kids, He's good for product sales. He's good for marketing. So Cena is good for business. I do give him credit for trying to push people to try to get people over. But, you know, Cena can only go so far. You know, if Vince doesn't like you, hey.
Right.
Even Cena can't help.
Right. But when I was actually, I think Hogan was more of actually putting guys over. Actually, I consider the Paul Orndorffs during that time, the King Kong Bundys, they was like the main, they made them in, more important, like the main event, more people invested their time in, even with the Randy Savages and the Roddy Pipers of the world.
That is true. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
And that's what Vince is missing right there, that with the other guys, even with the scripted promo, our promos is kind of holding them back also, not letting them be themselves also, to add their two cents to it.
Yeah, I think Vince is kind of, I think Vince doesn't trust the talent anymore. I don't know if it's a function of CM Punk. I don't know if it's a function of the pipe bomb. I don't know what it's a function of. But Vince doesn't trust talent. It's like certain talent gets to go by, you know, go by pointers. That's The Rock. That's Jericho. That's Piper when he comes in. But if you notice, the talent that this gets to go by pointers are all legends. The new talent, if you notice, they're scripted. You know, the new talent is very scripted. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like he doesn't trust the new talent. But then the question does, do you believe that that's going to hurt the product?
I think more likely it is hurting it right now. With the Hollywood writers that 90% don't know about the wrestling business, and then you also no longer have the Pat Patterson doesn't have that job as a booker anymore, or even Michael Hayes actually helped right there when he was the head writer of SmackDown until they took his job away from him. It went nowhere. The total of 5.5 hours of television, and Vince considered Raw like a television sitcom now.
And I think that's a problem with this show. I really believe that's a problem with this show. If you're looking at the show being a sitcom, I really do believe that. You know, yes, it's a weekly programming. Yes, it's one of those things of, yes, this is weekly programming, but at the same time, you really need to make sure that every week there is something that gets people to talk, and it has to be more than one match. It's like, literally, I don't know if you noticed, but it seems like Raw is a one-match show. It's because it's like we usually get one good match a show, and for a while it's been Ziggler. Ziggler's been the guy with the one match, you know.
Right.
And at one point, I remember when Damian Sandow had, one week he had an awesome match with Cena, and then he had a great match with Sheamus. And then Damian Sandow was given that one long match during the show. But I think the show needs a lot more than that, because honestly, it gets to the point now where you can miss Raw and not really miss anything.
Right. And that's how the viewership is kind of low. And actually, 3 hours is 3 hours and 10 minutes is actually very long for Monday Night Raw, even coming from a pay per view. They have a Sunday Night pay per view is like brutal to watch it for 3 hours.
That's true. That's true, because it does seem like Sunday Night Raw. Man,
and
how did you like the pay-per-view? Please tell me.
I mean, mean, I would have give it a fair, but it didn't go no, it didn't build up of anything. Only just the Ziggler and Luke Harper match actually was the show also, along with Bray Wyatt and Ambrose, but I didn't really care about the finish for that one also.
Yeah, it just seems, to me, it just seems like pay-per-view had a great, it seems like the pay-per-view started off great, and they knew that they weren't going to top NXT. It's like they went in knowing that there was nothing they're going to do that was going to top that NXT pay-per-view. Because the NXT show was amazing.
Exactly is. One of the best shows of last week or so. It's the takeover was excellent. And I give credit to Paul Levesque as he gets the final say in it. No Vince McMahon is there for creative control, or is only just one writer.
Yeah. What were some of the things that you enjoyed about the show? Some of the matches, or some of the things that you enjoyed about it?
I really liked it. Prince Devitt, they gave him his New Japan entrance. They let him be who he is on the Indies and also from New Japan and other promotions.
I really enjoyed the Charlotte and Sasha Banks match. I thought that match showcased Sasha really, really well. And it also showed me that Charlotte can give you something different every match with a different person. I was reading Jim Ross's post-match commentary, and he said that it's kind of scary how good Charlotte is in a ring. That every time he sees her, he says it's just like watching Ric Flair in his prime, you know, to see how good she is, that she could take Sasha and elevate Sasha. And you're talking about a female that can elevate another female talent in the ring. You know, my only fear is what happens when you put Charlotte on the main roster.
And you've seen that. I see that happen one time when she debuted on that time in Charlotte, North Carolina, but the finish was like actually right there. She kind of blew the finish, but why to let her job out on her TV debut right there?
Yeah, and the backstage there was a report that Natty actually asked Vince McMahon, could she lose that match? You know, Natty actually asked, could she take the loss? And Vince McMahon said no. Because I was reading that Natty didn't want it to happen. And Triple H was like, well, 6 months from now, people aren't going to remember that it happened. But I just don't want to see Charlotte doing bra and panty matches. I'm sorry. I don't want to see her in any bra and panty matches. I don't want to see her in any 4-on-4 diva matches. I don't want to see her booked as a diva. Like, she's a wrestler. And I think when Charlotte comes, there should be some type of separation between the divas and the women's wrestling again. Because you can put Charlotte, Sasha, Natalya, even I would throw Emma in with the wrestlers. You know, I could throw Emma there and just separate the divas from the wrestlers. I could even put Alicia Fox, because if you really give Alicia Fox a chance, the girl can really wrestle. You know, if you give her a chance to give her some time. Because to me, they could have built her up to be the female Booker T. I would have loved to see, honestly, personally for me, I would have loved to see Alicia Fox and Goldust together. I thought that was genius. Did you ever see any of those promos?
Yes, Alicia with Alicia Fox.
In Goldust.
I would say with Goldust, yeah.
because they were hilarious to see her do the crazy gimmick with Goldust. I'm like, this stuff is this was golden. Like, you could literally put her with Goldust and Stardust, and they would be an amazing group.
Right. But I think that they should they stopping them from, since they want to be kid friendly, they can't do no sexual innuendo or no they can't be, you know, the homosexual gimmick.
And
which
Goldust
made success, even when it was PG, it worked it. Even Adrian Adonis worked it in PG.
Adrian Adonis made it work. You know, Adrian Adonis knew how to work it where it was just like, okay. But Adrian Adonis to me was a tough gay guy.
Right.
He was eccentric, but he was a tough gay guy that could fight. So the only thing that people didn't like was just the way he came out, the way he looked. But Adrian Adonis was like this tough, badass gay boy that would, you know, from like the meat packing district that, you know, was like, okay, I don't want to see this guy on the street. But I really would love, but you know, but back to like as far as like the women, if they did, WWE did the women, as far as like when Charlotte comes, I think in order to have the integrity back, they need to separate the women wrestlers from the divas. Because unless they do that, you know, it's going to screw Charlotte up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, WWE can do some stupid diva matches.
Right. And Paige is now in the form of Ratana Knight. She's actually was in that six-man of divas, Santa Helpers, and it kind of brought her down some also.
You know, once you get booked in a six on six or a 4-on-4, you know you've lost your status.
And exactly, and it's Vince promoting the divas out on the E Network and stuff, and they losing viewers way more, and it's like it's actually so stripped. It's way too stripped.
You know, I've never really watched Total Divas, and it's so funny that my sister doesn't watch WWE, and she loves that show.
But I haven't seen it in weeks, but I heard it's when I've seen those previews, and it makes you want to turn it off, and I even will put the word fake, how fake it come up to them also.
Yeah, I think that that's another thing that I think that's kind of like they're trying to go for viewers for the reality show. So the divas are getting pushed at the expense of having women's wrestling. So when you have a woman like, say, Charlotte, or you have a woman like you bring Sasha up, what do you do with them? Like, really, what do you do with a Charlotte amongst a whole bunch of divas? Do you have a diva segment and then do a separate wrestling segment like they used to do with AJ? Because, you know, that's what they did with AJ for a while.
Right. And they recently did it for, like, two or three women's segments a couple months ago, and they gave up on that. I guess when the stupid Bella storyline didn't go nowhere, and there's no explanation now that that was the worst stripping line, blood is thicker than water, from Brie Bella.
The only one, the only family storyline a few ones that I liked was the Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy, when they had that the match with the chairs. Remember that?
Right.
That was a good match, but even so, I didn't even like it. Even when they had when Batista turned on Rey Mysterio and he beat him up.
Right.
You know, that was hard for me to watch.
Right. And the only sibling angle that got me invested was Owen Hart and Bret. They told the reason why Owen had it with Bret Hart and turned on him. It was because he was being selfish and which was in a tag matches.
Yeah, and that worked out well because Owen,
right.
They had a match on Brett wrestled twice on the pay per view.
Right.
But I really have been very impressed with NXT this year. I think NXT has consistently, with their four shows, I think they've outdone everybody on U.S. soil.
Right.
As far as, like, mainstream.
I mean,
Ring of Honor, to me, did well, but I think NXT did better because, don't get me wrong, I love ROH, but ROH sometimes can overdo it in the ring.
Right.
With too many false finishes. You know, that's a Ring of Honor thing. They'll do 30
right.
false finishes, a whole bunch of... Sometimes it gets too much in the ring.
Right.
You know, but I think NXT this year, to me, really did it well. And TNA, I think, did very, very well too late. Like when
right.
they did
the
whole string of... Yeah, late in the game. When they did those New York shows, I'm like, where was that TNA years ago?
Right. And I think what happened was ever since that, when they started the Slammiversary pay-per-view and they was up against Ring of Honor pay-per-view, they started,
uh-huh.
all of a sudden, they started to turn things around. And I noticed because they got criticism everywhere around the podcast community, everywhere on the web and stuff, and they gave Bully Ray the the book because he know Big John from Tough Enough and WWE, and he would listen to anyone that been in WWE, any of the talent, and it was a good thing that Bully Ray was being praised on most of the show doing good ever since that. But I noticed that he wasn't there the last few weeks of the tapings because of his contract and the only thing is who gonna be taking over if it's him and Christy Hemming, it's not going to go nowhere, the storylines.
Well, I think they should just get Matt Hardy. Because Matt Hardy does know how to book. Matt Hardy did have a promotion. Matt Hardy does know how to put butts in seats.
Right, and he's, even though his contract ran out, his three-month deal with TNA, and... The only thing is, I think they have a lot of talented people backstage. Like Al Snow, he did a good job in OVW as a head booker. And there's also Tommy Dreamer. He has his own promotion, and he's also a good booker right there. He's a road agent, and I think Big John would listen to both of them because they was the Al Snow was known him the most from Tough Enough, and then you have Tommy Dreamer. He been behind the scenes of WWE as a road agent.
And then Tommy Dreamer was like Paul Heyman's right-hand man.
Right, exactly. And
so, you know, Tommy Dreamer, when it comes to booking, Tommy Dreamer knows how to book.
And a promoter also of House of Hardcore.
You know, so you can't go wrong with Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer
right.
knows how to. You can't go wrong with him in the booking. Tommy Dreamer knows how to book. That's just, you know that. But it was just so funny to me. They did those shows in New York, and I was like, this was the most logical, best TNA that I had seen. Those shows were better than the entire Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan. Era.
Right.
Those shows in New York were better than anything that they did under them. And I'm like, why couldn't we have that? The storylines were simple.
Right.
It was simple storylines, it was great action, and it had wrestlers that people wanted to see.
And they do got the writer, Dave Lagana, that been the head writer under Paul Heyman from SmackDown, then Ring of Honor. Now he's with TNA. But the only thing is he doesn't know how to book. He can create a storyline, but he can't book finishes. And don't forget, TNA also have another person that's been a good booker also, Mike Tenay. He also had history of booking, you know, the Cruiserweights in WCW, and also even he was the favorite of the tag team division coming back also with Raven and Perry Saturn and them.
Yeah, so, I mean, TNA has a lot of options. I just hope that with Destination America, if they're going to restart the button, they really restart the button, and they restart it the right way. They need to restart like they ended this year.
And Dixie did in a recent interview was saying that they wasn't going to be like other, far from WWE and other companies in their creative ways.
But you know one thing that I liked that they did? Remember when they were using, like, the realistic camera images?
Right.
I love that. To me, that was amazing. When they had, like, the realistic camera images and when they were doing the TNA reaction, to
right.
me, that was ahead of the curve. Nobody was doing that.
Right.
I don't know why they stopped. That was amazing. TNA reaction, I love the camera angles. I love the way it looked. The way they presented the wrestling, it looked
but
like
it wasn't
a movie.
But Spike TV didn't promote none of their programs like that, and it was in the wrong time slot. They should have put it on maybe the next before the next day or the next night, so like a dirty main event. They should have put it on like a Wednesday night before Impact.
Because you know, those camera angles and how they did that whole of that realistic documentary style, that looked amazing for TNA. Nobody was
right.
doing it. And you know the funny thing about it? Lucha Libre took part of it and used movie cameras. And Lucha Libre is using part of it right now for their look. People are like, oh, my gosh, I love Lucha Libre. I'm like, TNA was doing that.
And
all Lucha Libre did was use movie cameras to do the same thing TNA was doing with the Canon Mach 5. It's like
right.
the high-end camera, Canon camera. I think it's the 5D or the something like that. That's all they
right.
did.
And also, one of their guys also behind the scenes is Mark Burnett. And he's also in his company in charge of also Donald Trump apprentice also, and it kind of reminds me of elements of them when it comes on the intro and stuff.
But you know that's one of the shows that I really do like is Lucha Underground. I really do enjoy it.
Right. It's like it takes like 20 like. 15 or 20 guys is actually over in that pro on that show.
I mean, I love the way Lucha Underground is presented. I think that they're doing the right thing by being on the El Rey Network. I think what they need to do is probably advertise the show on other networks to let people know it exists. Because
right now,
most people don't even know El Rey exists.
Yeah, it's
like
been around for a couple years now.
But, you know, if you tell somebody El Rey, people are like, what's El Rey? People don't even know that exists. So if you're trying to say, watch the El Rey Network, no one's heard of it. Because I hadn't heard of it. And I think that's going to be the same thing with TNA. I didn't even know I could get Destination America.
Right.
I found out about it. I didn't realize that I had seen a couple of shows on it before until
because you know how you flip through the channels and you just watch something? Why
right.
something on Destination America not knowing it was Destination America?
Exactly. Then you also have Unimass also. They also carry the El Rey network, and they get the most viewers for the show Lucha Underground. But if they can get on network, it's been around for a long time. I forgot it.
You talking about a Spanish network?
Yeah, that actually has over 80 million viewers, and they have good ratings right there. If you put it right there, Dave Meltzer was saying that they will be neck to neck with the Raw demographic.
You talking about Univision?
Yeah, Univision. Yeah.
If they got on Univision, you could put them also on Tres, which is owned by MTV, because Tres
right,
is
they,
a.
But the only thing is they don't. They tried that with Bellator when it was on there, and also I think Impact was also dead. But they don't have that many viewership. Maybe like in the 30 million viewers, and TNA did a 0.2 over there. Both of them and Bellator.
Because you know WWE comes on Trace.
Right.
Now, it like comes, I think it's like the, during the week, I think it's like WWE comes on like a Wednesday, and I think it's like a Friday. A Wednesday or a Friday comes on.
But that's like
the replay.
MTV's second tier network. It's just like the Discovery Channel for like Destination America. It's second tier.
But I really because I really would love to, honestly, I really would love to see, you know, Lucha Underground get advertised on USA or some of the main networks so people know to go to El Rey. But there's not
right.
been much promotion for El Rey. So most, if you don't even know what the network is, because people are like, well, what's El Rey Network? I'd never heard of it. Then people, you
right.
know, so that's the hard issue. It was the same thing that Ring of Honor had when they were on HGNet. Most people don't know what HGNet was. Like, how many people had, I mean, most of us were trying to figure out what it was.
Right. And Destination America is the same way. It's been around for almost 2 years, and that's my first time hearing about Destination X Holly America.
Yeah, it's just like if they would have said we're going to put it on Aspire.
Right.
You know, that's Magic Johnson's TV station.
Right.
His TV network, Aspire. What's Aspire? That's the black station, the black cable station owned by Magic. I'm surprised no wrestling show tried to get on that, because he's struggling. He's trying to find programming to put on his network.
Exactly.
Like, he really is looking for programming to put on his network. Magic Johnson be playing a little bit of everything on the Spire. But, yeah. But I think wrestling in 20... Well, that's a good question to ask you. Where do you see wrestling in 2015? You know you can answer this question. So don't even go there, because you know you can answer this question. I'm not going to let you off the hook easy.
You said, what Vince think of... wrestling in 2015?
No, what you think. I ain't talking about Vince. I'm talking about you.
I say it's going to be good for upstart promotions like Lucha Underground, and even with the New Japan deal with the former HD network assets. I think that it could be a hit also in the tap into the U.S. market. And even with Ring of Honor also, I think they're going to even continue to draw on pay-per-view even more. And and they actually on a Sinclair Broadcasting is in the same. They on the same footing as Destination America with viewers, but they, but Ring of Honor has the bigger, you know, syndication stations that people familiar with, like for example, Fox 45. That's like a big market right there. Everybody knows what Fox 45 is. In
yeah,
Maryland.
Because we can watch. Yeah, because we watch Ring of Honor twice a week here.
Right, and they got bigger stations, and they can actually draw more than TNA now. They mostly now consider TNA as the number three or number four promotion for next year, because they're gonna lose a lot of viewers going to Destination America. It's not in a lot of homes. And then also on the West Coast, I think it's going to be 3 hours earlier in difference.
Yeah, but I think
they don't
you know
have
what?
A feed.
But I think that TNA needs kind of that. I think it'll serve as a kind of like you know how a parent dips on a child where. The child doesn't really do what they were supposed to do, and then the child gets in trouble for not doing what they were supposed to do. I think TNA deserves that. You know, TNA had a wonderful deal, and TNA didn't do what they needed to do to make it work. So I think kind of like, okay, this is their probationary period. You're not going to lose it, but you're going to have to start from the bottom and work your way back up. Go back to almost like those Jeff Jarrett days, because you didn't mention Jeff Jarrett's promotion, bro.
Yeah, GFW Global Force Wrestling, in which they'll be having their first pay per view on January 4th at 7 p.m. to 11, 4 hours, and this is stuff
yes.
a good. The place with Jim Ross doing English broadcasting with Matt Stryker. It's just a good start for him, and also he's still trying to get a TV deal, and it could happen next year.
Yeah, I really do. If you look at the card, there are a lot of Japanese names that a lot of people don't know, but one thing I do like about the card is that if a person wants to get some of the best, and I mean some of the best wrestling on the planet, you are going to get some of the best wrestling. You may not recognize some of the names, but people who watch wrestling or familiar with wrestling outside of WWE, they probably heard of the Bullet Club. And Bullet Club is going to be on that card. Because to me, Bullet Club is probably the hottest faction in wrestling in the world right now.
And it's more like the NWO again.
Yeah, they are, because not too long ago, they had a Bullet Club, had hosted a ask the Bullet Club a question. And they were trending worldwide on Twitter for about 3 hours. People from all over the world. And it was like, and I mean, you know, when has any wrestling company trended or wrestling group trended like that across the world and not been a part of WWE? Which goes back to, you know, something you had posted about the Young Bucks turning down a WWE offer.
Exactly. And it's... they notice that they way more promoted in Japan. They having fun with their life. Them along with AJ Styles, they can make more money than they was in TNA, and they can make more from the WWE contract they was gonna get offered. And New Japan has the money and the new owners, and they can also go back to the U.S. to do Ring of Honor company, or they can do Indies, PWG, and with a good good payoff.
I mean, so the question becomes, why wouldn't you work with, for New Japan? You know, New Japan is offering you everything that you ever wanted in the promotion. Why go with WWE? Because you know WWE isn't paying those guys in
not like
NXT.
They were a couple years ago, in which
think Devitt is getting money. You know, Devitt didn't come there for pennies. He's not coming for $250 a week. They paid him a contract, and I can guarantee you that Kevin Steen didn't come for $250 a week because he was getting well more than that on the indies.
Right.
You know, so they had to come out their pockets for Steen, especially they came out their pockets for Kenta. You know, Kenta ain't coming over here for beans and crackers.
Right. But it was Alberto Del Rio, and then you had ones like the former Sin Cara, Mystical, in their interviews were saying that how bad ever since they went to the network thing and their cutbacks that the lower tier talent, not the ones that didn't do that much in merchandise, they was getting lesser money deal of money. And stuff. They was like explaining and stuff about even with going on the road with expenses with getting rental cars and paying for their hotel. They gotta pay for food five times to keep up with their figure, and also continue going to the gym and still gotta pay. They have families to feed and stuff and. It's ridiculous after money after the taxes and stuff, and it's and I was actually shocked with Alberto Del Rio and it's a couple other ones that got released like Matt Sydal, and he was around the $200,000 range, but the more that you don't be on. The more you don't do on Raw or SmackDown, the less you don't be on Raw or SmackDown, the less you're not getting.
Yeah, that's how they have the contract set up. So
right. If
you're not booked on the show, you may have, and see, this is what some people don't understand. Some wrestlers, you still may have to show up. So, for example, you say you all were in, for example, they were in D.C. tonight. And you know D.C. is for the Raw taping. So all of us are at the Raw taping, and we find out we're not going to be used for the Raw taping. So we may get, say, $100.
Right.
We find out that the next set of tapings for the house show is in Richmond. So that's another two and a half hours down that we all got to go to Richmond for the house show. Well, we're going to work the house show, but the house show may pay, say, if the house show pays $200. We only got $200 for the house show. We still got to think about the expenses for gas, hotel, and all of that. That's why a lot of these wrestlers are saying five to a room, four to a room, and everybody's splitting food. So people think these wrestlers are making money. The only way they make money is if they can somehow get into a spot, like a high-tier spot. But even some of the ones that they said, I was reading one report, that some of the wrestlers they said it was that a high-tier spot was only getting $500 a night, some of the new talent. So you tell me you can work two matches and only get $500 a night.
Right.
There's
and
independent
also,
promoters that pay more than that.
And and WWE has that big schedule though. They got a way longer schedule the year than New Japan also, and you can actually take breaks with New Japan as also. They also have guaranteed money also.
But I think in 2015 we're gonna see. What I call the birth of the new territory, meaning that in 2015, wrestling is going to go back, it's going to break back down into, it's going to break back down compartmentalized. Because at one point you had the territories. Territories, I grew up in the territory phase. I grew up in the Jim Crockett promotion territory. I was Jim Crockett, but we also got a chance to watch World Class. I never had a chance to see WWE until I came up north to see my grandmother. Because where my grandmother lived, in her territory, there was WWE. But she would always send us videotapes down every single week of WWE. So that's the reason why I got a chance to see those wrestlers. And for us being in Jim Crockett, it was like, oh, this stuff y'all watching is fake. But then when the territories left, it left one person in charge, Vince, or basically one big conglomeration. But I think in 2015, what we're going to see, which is so great, is we're going to see this breakup of this wrestling monopoly, because you're going to get all of these new players on the field doing their thing. And the thing about it is that with Raw getting as boring as it is, people are going to have access to better product. People are going to be like, okay, I don't have to see Raw this week. You know, I can watch, say, TNA is going to get better. I have a feeling TNA is going to put on a great year. You got TNA. Oh, Ring of Honor, we're in Baltimore. Hey, we got Ring of Honor. So you know we're going to get some good stuff. Bam, PWG. You got New Japan, and then you got Global Force coming up. Then we still got, you know, you got MCW locally. You have CZW in Philadelphia that's doing good stuff. So we still got a lot of choices.
Right, and one thing right there with TNA, they it was the network that signed to move them to Friday at 9 to 11, but on a bad, that's actually a horrible night, a Friday night, on a second tier network also, and they going head-to-head with New Japan for that first hour for the next three months. And that's going to be kind of difficult right there for them to get the word out, and also and a lot of people don't have access to the network, and they project them between 200,000 to 400,000 possibly viewers for Impact,
which is much lower than they did when they were. That's basically a point two,
right?
You know, they were going from like a 0.8 to maybe a 1.2 or 1.1 to now going to a 0.2. But I think, in all honesty, I think that TNA has to bite the bullet on this one. They put out a crappy product for a very, very long time. They had a loaded roster with a whole bunch of stars. They did a lot of – at one point, I got tired of, honestly, about us with TNA putting on a pay-per-view, and every ending to every match was always a run-in. That bothered me.
A run-in or a horrible Vince Russo finish.
Yeah, it was a Russo finish. A run-in, a ref bump. Hold on, it was a run-in, a ref bump. It was something, always something over the top. And the only person I think for a while who had a clean finish was Bobby Roode.
Right.
Like, when he had the belt, he beat everybody fair and square. And I'm like, okay. But that's when things were like, okay, finally we got someone that can get a clean finish. But I think, but I feel really good about wrestling in 2015. I really do. I feel good about the product. I feel not for WWE. I think NXT in 2015 is going to take, I think NXT is going to challenge Raw, seriously be some competition for Raw.
Is up to Vince McMahon and also with the network also. Not that many, their highest margin was over 600,000, and they lost way more ever since then. Also, they since they going back to people can cancel at any month at the end of the month, and it's seem like it's gonna go. It's right now is maybe like 400,000 viewers that has the net has the network. But it maybe be like, I'll give it maybe like those people watching NXT. But the only thing is, most of the mainstream people don't follow the NXT product.
Well, I think the mainstream people are gonna mainstream people have been watching the specials. Because the mainstream fans have been hearing about how good the specials are.
Yeah, because and when I had talked, even with the casual fans that don't, that only follow WWE, and even their, you know, you have some of those marks also, and it was, and I'll say that you don't know Tyler Breeze, and I said they said who. And I think that's the only thing right there that they not programmed for that. They may know the name NXT, but they don't know the guys that are down there the most.
Well, I think that'll happen in time. I mean, I think it's one of those things that the specials will expose people. But I think it's going to get to a point, and this is my prediction. I guess we can make some 2015 predictions. My prediction in 2015 is that I think NXT will do so well that Vince and do so well as far as popularity that it will probably force Vince to try to bring NXT, some of their talent, to the WWE pay-per-view in order to try to get, what's the word, to try to make the pay-per-view look good.
Right.
Try to make the pay-per-view look better. Because my thing is, if NXT, because what's the harm in having an NXT match on the pay-per-view? What's the harm opening the match up with Sasha Banks and Charlotte?
Right. But
imagining, you know, imagine starting the match up with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Start
right.
The pay-per-view off with that. Or putting that in the middle of the pay-per-view. But my thing is, I have a feeling that in 2015, WWE may make that call. Like, Vince may make the call, let's put some of this NXT talent and start featuring them on these pay-per-views. Because Vince has a big ego. And it's going to get to the point where I have a feeling his ego is going to get in the way. And it's going to be like, damn, all I'm hearing about is NXT is much better than the shit I'm running. But I think they may get to a point where a business decision may be made. Well, look, let's put some of this NXT talent on the main roster. Question for you. How do you feel about the Ascension? What do you think they'll do on the main roster?
I think they're going to be way different than their NXT gimmick. They're going to be pushed a certain way, and they kind of push them to be the next Demolition Road Warriors.
Do you think it's going to work?
I think so for a while, though. But you know how Vince is. How they going to be like that for the next 3 months? Will they be lost in the? Hopefully, not be lost in a tag team shuffle.
That's true. Well, is there any other, like, predictions or things that you see happening in 2015?
I would say possibly Triple Way of Mexico having their U.S. Re-debuting on the U.S. pay-per-view.
For real?
Yeah, since that's the sister promotion of Lucha Underground.
That would be hot, though.
Right.
Man,
and
that honestly, Yeah.
Because Conan is actually one of the bookers also working with both of them, Triple A and Lucha Underground. And I be hearing them like every week on MLW with Kurt Bauer and Conan understand what society wants and what the people should be watching. Not clusterfuck of WWE angles and storylines of maybe only Cena getting over week by week.
That's true. Because you know what's so funny is that after a pay-per-view, you can almost predict exactly what the matches of the Raw will be.
Yes,
every pay-per-view, you can predict what the Raw will be. The mid-card title match will be a rematch on Raw. You know you don't get that. The tag team title match is going to be a replay. It's going to be a rematch of the show. Then the two top main events are going to be a tag match, main event on Raw. And that's usually the formula.
Right.
Lazy booking 101.
Exactly. And then you also have, I think we'll have wake up Vince McMahon also. I was just thinking about it. If maybe, or he get another billionaire, very furious and start a real beef with a billionaire that he don't like, maybe like a Warren Buffett or something like that, that would do a Ted Turner on him and trying to run him out of business by having to actually go after the ones like Paul Heyman or any, even Gabe Sapolsky to run the company and give them the checkbook and have their own network to wake up Vince and everything. I think that'll be another way for Vince to change also when he see the numbers or the ratings of any promotion, even if Lucha Underground gets on Lunavision, if he sees something closer to his ratings, he will go apeshit, Vince McMahon.
But I mean, if you think about it, all you would really need to do is get each promotion to get a 0.5. Think
right.
about it. If Lucha gets a 0.5 every week, TNA gets a 0.5 every week, Ring of Honor is bringing in a 0.5 every week, New Japan is bringing a 0.5 every week, that becomes a threat to you.
Right.
Because if you add all of that up, collectively, those numbers are more than what those numbers are equaling what your product is.
Right.
So you could say collectively that there's that these numbers of people are actually watching is that there's an audience out there watching equal to what I'm putting out or equal to my
right.
fans. All you need is your competition to get a 0.5 every week. A 0.5 don't seem like much, but if you have 0.5 across the board,
yeah, I think actually Ring of Honor actually gets that on Sinclair. I think sometimes they get. I think their highest one was a 1-1. But they average like a in some cases a 0.7 and 0.8 on a power net syndication network.
Uh huh. You know, so if everybody starts pulling good numbers, you know, it's enough. Because, see, my thing is, I remember someone had the little joke, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you don't have to try to eat Vincent Mann, the big elephant, all in one bite. But if one person's taking a little bite over here and another person's taking a little bite over here and someone else is taking this little chunk, and someone else is taking this little chunk, collectively, you can take away his audience. you can take his a lot of the core fans will start watching the product because what they want from the wrestling, they'll be getting it instead of basically watching a whole bunch of junk, only being able to get one match. Because the only real issue with me with New Japan is they need to have English speaking broadcasts. They need broadcasters who speak English. That's New Japan's problem. Like if they took the broadcast and had someone actually brought, like you know how WWE, if you watch
right.
it on the Spanish on the Spanish channel, you can hear it in Spanish. Well, if New Japan did that in English, I think it would be much easier for people to be able to really grasp the product. Because then we don't have to, like, watch a match and not know what's going on. You know, we could get the full backstory. We could get the play-by-play. We could get the color commentary. But I think that's the only thing that's really holding New Japan back, is that they need an English commentary team. Because the wrestlers
right.
don't have to speak English, just the commentary people need to speak English.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be in English when they go to HDNet with Josh Burnett as commentating along with I forgot the other guy's name. Yeah, MMA fighter Josh Burnett. He definitely knows it. He knows his wrestling homework.
But yeah, that's going to be good, though. I'm really looking forward to it.
And don't forget, New Japan also have their own network called The World.
Well, what information do you have on it so far?
And it's a reasonable price. It's actually at $9.50 a month with contact, and you can translate it to English also. And they also in the works of making it more with English commentary in the future, translated with that. It could be possible. You never know. It might be Jim Ross or the Matt Strikers of the world doing the commentary on some of that old content, old and
uh-huh.
new one. And it's also their goal is. They put a reasonable number. They get if they can get 100,000 subscribers worldwide, it's fine for them. They're not gonna give out no crazy number like the network of getting like 3 million and they trash in the stock market. And they almost right now the number one promotion in the world.
Well, I mean, New Japan is just hot. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's no way to say it. It's just good.
And
it's
definitely
just good all the way around.
And that kind of gets Vince real, like, I think it's gonna get to Vince though because the only pay-per-view provider they got right now is Comcast and. DirecTV and Dish Network and maybe a couple other networks stopped doing pay-per-view because of the network. And I just I think Vince really don't care if they leave Comcast. That'd be the major blow right there. And they've been continue to say everything for free for Survivor Series. And I think it's going to be a time that Comcast is going to finally leave. It could be next year.
You think so?
Right after they might pull the plug after WrestleMania.
The Comcast is just going to get that last payday, and then after they get that WrestleMania payday, they're going to be done with WWE.
Right. And I think that's the only thing right there with the talent's paychecks right there with them doing the network and stuff because the less buy rates they get.
And a lot of talent loves that WrestleMania bonus, But now there is no
right. Also, and also even the royalties, even for the video games and DVD sales, also because that might the network took taking over that one is all the documentaries going to be there before it get to the stores, just like the Ultimate Warrior one.
So the talent's really getting screwed over.
Yeah, it's not because that's why they cut what 20 like 50, 20 guys from their talent pool.
Wow. So the talent really is really getting screwed over. The network really hurt a lot of people.
Right.
Put everything on the network, the World Series, the payday, you know, that WrestleMania payday that everybody loves. And then, you know, WWE has that rule that you got to bring your family to WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Which I never understood that anyway. You got to pay for it, but you got to bring your family to WrestleMania.
Vince going to have to upgrade WrestleMania ASAP because Taker is more likely done.
You know what I would love to see? I would love to see NXT have its own version of WrestleMania, but more like a summer, like you know how we have the weekend for SummerSlam. I would love to see NXT get its own special, but in a bigger venue instead of doing it in the venues that they have. Maybe get a venue that holds like 5,000 people, because you know they can sell 5,000 seats for NXT.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Because right now, if you want to go see NXT, those tickets are the hardest tickets to get. Like the last special, they had like several hundred people outside that couldn't get in. You know, but that's one of the things I would love to do.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. So it's 11:52.
Yeah. And that could be a change in other if I just more likely hopefully Sting and Triple H is gonna be more likely one of the headliners of WrestleMania.
I would love to see Sting and what's your name? Sting and Wyatt,
but
I think Sting and Triple H have the history, so I think they could really do a good match.
Right.
One thing I give Triple H knows how to sell. You know, Triple H can sell.
Right.
That's the one thing I give him. He can sell anybody. And believe me, on that stage, you know, Sting can still give you a good match. That's
right.
The one thing I can say about Sting. Sting can still give you a really good match. You know, I can guarantee you that Sting will probably pull out some new moves that he's never done, and they'll probably have a few wrestlers working with him to pull out some new stuff, you know?
Right.
Because if you're going to do a match on that stage, you're going to have to pull out something new. You can't give us TNA Sting. I'm sorry.
I mean, but he was still a good worker in TNA. He still did the drop kicks and the ponchos up. Even outside of the ring, on top of Abyss and stuff, those hardcore matches he had with Abyss.
I just want to see him do something, use some new moves. So it's like, okay, it's,
right.
So for the people who saw him in TNA, it's not like, okay, we've seen all of this before. Because there's still a lot of moves he can use. You know, there's still a lot of stuff that Sting could do. You know, give people something a little bit different so when people are looking at him, like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, Sting can, you know, get those you still got it chance.
Right. And the only surprising part about it, most people didn't know that he was in TNA, though, that because TNA Spike TV did a bad job of not having a name out there.
That's true. That is definitely true. So they do have that one thing. He was in TNA for all those years and people still don't know.
Right. Even with Mick Foley and Kevin Nash, when Kevin Nash was telling and Mick Foley was telling the story that every time they went through that airport and people would come up and ask them where they been at, and they was in it every Thursday night on TNA Impact, and they was saying, what is that? And, you know, they think some of them were speechless, and they had to end up, like, letting them even know that Spike TV.
Wow. But I'm looking forward to 2015. It's going to be a good year of wrestling. It really is. I look forward
right.
to it. I really do. I think it's, to me, I think 2015 is going to be the year of the fan. I really
right.
do believe it's going to be the year that wrestling comes back to the fan.
Right. And definitely
really
that could
believe.
Be the that could be the birth of Global Force Wrestling. Finally getting the rightful TV deal.
Because the truth is, we all know that Jeff Jarrett can book. If there's
right.
one thing Jeff Jarrett can do, Jeff Jarrett could book he can book in his sleep.
Right. You know, he admitted that years ago he made bad decisions and stuff with bringing in Vince Russo. When TNA kind of started back and forth, and with Scott Namor got ran off the trade when Vince Russo came back for Impact on Spike the next year, and now he's back in good graces with Scott Namor. And he's in bed with a lot of talent that asked for his forgiveness, that he made the mistakes.
Well, there's still a lot of good talent out there.
Right.
I hope, I think his name is Uha Nation. I hope he doesn't sign with WWE. But honestly, if there's anybody that I would say that would make probably be the first true African-American WWE champion that's 100% black, it will probably be him. Because if you look
right.
at him, he's amazing in the ring. Not
right.
only is he big, not only does he have muscles, he can fly like a cruiserweight, he can flip like a cruiserweight, and he can do all the power moves. He can do all the submissions like Daniel Bryan. So someone like him, Vince would be going crazy over. Black man, muscle, bald head, that has a mixture of Daniel Bryan, a power guy, and a cruiserweight.
He is talking to Yuhan Nation also.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Vince would go
right,
crazy over him.
Exactly. He's actually a... Also, even a bodybuilder also, on the side also.
So, somebody like him, I think, could break the glass wall and end up WWE champion.
Right.
Because in the ring, for one, he has the look. For two, the hardcore fans would love him because he can give you a 5-star match. So
right.
the kids will love him because he can fly. He looks like Superman. Vince will love him because he's muscle bound and big, and he can put on a 5-star match. He has all the parts. The only thing you need to know is he gets along with people in the back.
Right, and I think Vince has a problem with. I noticed that when it comes to black athletes, actually, even the Mark Henrys and Ezekiel Jackson, and it's not believable when they lose to, like, when they job out to a Cena or certain ones like a Randy Orton, that these are actually legitimate tough guys also. Just like a lot of African Americans dominating a lot of sports and stuff, but Vince hold them back and stuff.
But I think with him, Vince would go crazy over him. I can see
right.
Vince going crazy because he has everything Vince looks for in a black athlete. Vince likes muscles. Vince
right.
likes lots of muscles. Vince likes
yeah.
tall. Vince likes someone who can fly. Vince likes technical. Vince likes someone who can do everything. And see, he could be the black Super Cena, to be honest with you. All you need to, if he can cut a promo, if homeboy can cut a promo, and if he's good on the stick, you got your black Super Cena right there.
Right.
That would be the only thing that we'd be looking at, if he can cut a promo. But I guarantee you this, even if he can't cut a promo, they will work with him until he can. They'll cover
right.
that up until he's good enough. They'll cover him up until he's good enough to cut a promo. But I think
right.
he already can. You know.
Right. And
but I would like to see him do. I would like to see him get bigger on the international scene. So when he comes to America, he's already this big, big, big major star. So he doesn't have to come in like Vince made him. He comes
right.
in like Kenta. That's what I would like for him to. You understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah. But I know that when mostly things change when they go to the WWE roster and Vince isn't Vince get the final say gets the final say and stuff, and they keep saying that Vince not going to step down. The only way he'll step down is if he's going to pass away. That's a pass away. I don't think that he would give the reins to Triple H yet in the next 5 years.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to. Oh, darn. What happened? Hello?
Something happened. Yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, it's just been an overrun for the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it just cut off?
Yeah, but it's still going, though. The time is still going on for maybe over 5 minutes.
Okay, because I had to get ready to go to bed. But it's been good. But definitely been good. But if you want to let me know, say, a post-show or something like that, definitely I'd be willing to do a post-show, like a post-pay-per-view.
Sure. That's definitely in the works. Yeah, it's definitely in the works with the other programs also. And 2015 going to be a big year for Wrestling Effect, the radio, even with it could be bigger, way more bigger guests out there.
Oh, that's what's up.
Right. Yeah. We definitely
yeah.
trying to launch. It's drawing from leaps and bounds for the last over a year now.
That's good. That's really, really good.
Yes. Yes. It was nice for you to come on tonight. You're welcome anytime. You're part of the staff here at Effect Radio.
Okay. I appreciate it, bro. I really do. Thanks for inviting me. I really do appreciate it.
No problem.
I really do. But, yeah, but I do follow all of your posts online, so. So I actually do write everything that you say. I mean, read everything that you say.
Right.
But you have a good night, and I will stay in touch. And take care of yourself, and have a good holiday.
Same to you, buddy. You have a good holiday, too.
Okay, take care, bro. All
right.
All right.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are about to sign off. If you want to get in contact to look for this archive of the show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com under Wrestling Net Factor Radio for our episodes, or at Facebook at Wrestling Net Factor group page for all the archives there also. This is Wayne Benitez signing off. And later.
Ho, 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 ho. Open up your door. I'm Santa Claus, and guess what, y'all? I got something to show. I came to bring some Christmas spirit. I got a big bag, now guess what's in it? Something for the rich, something for the poor. So Merry Christmas and ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, my foot. I'ma tell you what Santa really put under my so-called tree, but in reality, look like nothing but a decorated pole to me. Man, you talk about a tree, it makes me wonder, cause I never had a tree to put anything under. If I ever did look up and get a tree, there was never anything under it for me.
Man, I don't know what y'all talking about, cause when I come to your town, I just get chased out. I thought you would be happy to see Santa Claus, but all you say is stick him up and give me yours.
You're lucky all you did was get ripped off, and it's time to keep your big fat ass up north, because after my last few Christmas nights, if I see you around my neighborhood, I'm shooting on sight. And I ain't even got a chimney for you to come down, so ain't no need for you to be coming around, cause the last so-called Santa that came in with a sack wasn't giving out presents, he was taking them back.
Man, y'all should be glad that I didn't quit, cause I'm getting too old for this Santa Claus shit. Y'all think I'm getting presents made for free? I gotta pay them bills, and ain't nobody paying me.
You big fat whale, you might as well quit, cause I can name 100 presents that I didn't get. And if I did get a present, it'd be a heavy down. Yo, I got this for Christmas, now how that sound?
It sounds good to me, cause I'm about to freeze. You wanna see something? Look at the bottom of these. Me and my brothers can't go out at the same time, cause the coat that's theirs is the coat that's mine.
Man, I know one thing, y'all better get off my neck and wait till you get your welfare check. Go on down to the office and stand on the line. Better hurry up, see, I got mine.
Jingle, jangle, dingle for the pole. And once he gets the welfare check,
y'all kiss my mistletoe. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
That's why the presents keep getting mixed up. Cause year after year you keep fucking up. And now I know why, cause you're always drunk. Instead of G.I. Joe, you send me this junk.
That ain't a G.I. Joe, that's a G.I. jerk. With a kung fu grip that don't even work. So all I did was just put him away, cause my G.I. Joe looks G.I. gay.
That's why you don't get presents now, cause you're just in grace. G.I. Joe's gay, what difference does it make? After all, he's just a doll, ain't too much he can do. If you ask me, boy, I ain't too sure about you.
Man, forget about that. What about these shoes? Instead of Christmas carols, I'm singing the blues. Staring at the clock, looking hard at the time, cause I just played the number, combinated on a dime.
I played 234 and put a penny on 7, combinated 412 and believed it 11. Put my last 5 cents on 356, and after all that, I didn't hit shit.
Jingle, jangle, jingle, bold and bold. And once he gets the welfare check,
you won't play numbers no more. Ho, ho, ho. Won't play them no more.
Yeah, you got that right. Listen, Bloto, with your big fat suit. Next time, say no, don't send no substitute. Because I asked you for a beatbox and you know what I got? Dougie Fresh, you know that kid from down the block. Four facts
facsimile, we must admit, Dougie Fresh is good and made a perfect fit. He's the only reason why we weren't totally mad. Without Dougie, our Christmas would have been really sad.
Jingle, jangle, jingle for the Pope. And once he gets your welfare check, even Dougie Fresh gon' go. Ho, ho, ho. Dougie Fresh gon' go.
Christmas off, I had no loving in a while. I love to have sex, but I can't afford a child. My girl wants a baby, but I had to chill. She said, if you don't want a baby, then you take the pill. What is Christmas for?
Huh?
What is Christmas for?
What is Christmas for?
Yeah, what is Christmas for?
Wind up toys that don't wind up. Talking dolls that don't shut up. This is the type of presents that you buy when you're poor, so that's what you have to settle for. And it ain't no secret that everything's sunny if you're living in Palm Springs with all that money. Americanomics works, and I won't argue that is true. But if the economy is getting better for who? Well, if you ask me, I'm doing much worse than before. With the welfare cuts, I don't eat no more. So if I did want to go out, I couldn't go nowhere, cause I ate every last one of them reindeer. Rudolph first, I went down the list. I got so hungry, I just couldn't resist. I ate Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Dixon, fried them up and then started to mix them. And before you knew it, they were all gone. I wonder what you're gonna do about my reindeer song.
We'll sing Silent Night and Jingle Bells and all those Christmas rhymes. Cause nobody gives a shit about the reindeer at hard times. You just jingle and jangle and hang out with the folks. And when you get your welfare check, you my reindeer bottles go.
Dougie Fresh and Magnificent Four, then head on out the door and leave these party people singing jingle jangle for the pole.
Jingle jangle jingle for the pole. Don't take us for granted, cause you may never know. One day when you least expect it, we can even up the score. So just jingle jangle, jingle with the post. Jingle, jangle, a ding-a-dangle with